Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algie, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
Got it. I got to hit that button first. Oh, hey, welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast. We're on episode number 291. Let's see. 2 weeks ago, we had a young man on here that was 23. Last week, you guys just had old people on. So this week, we're gonna have. it was. You guys are all old.
It was a great night of everybody going, "Get off my lawn!
Get off my lawn!" Do you remember when?
Yeah.
So tonight we got with us Jack Ryan. It's also known as what's your other
name?
Jack
the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
Awesome bass player for the that arena rock show. So and he's got a couple other things going on. He just disappeared. So now he's back. Oh, look at that. It's magic.
I didn't want to be called that. I'm out of here.
I guess he's like I'm out. Done. See ya. I'm Jack disappearing. That's my name. Yeah. Anyway, so welcome, Jack. Tell us a little bit about you, man.
Hey, I'm a bass player. I currently play for That Arena Rock Show, a hair metal tribute band. I've been playing professionally since I was 17, and I've played for a bunch of different groups ranging from my first professional gig was with like a new metal group in the vein of Disturbed or Breaking Benjamin. Then I went on to tour with a blues artist for a while. Actually, when I got that gig, I didn't know how to play any blues music, but I told her I did, and I just stayed up late and learned. But after that, I went on to play in like a Bruno Mars Prince cover band. And now I'm in an 80s hair metal tribute band. And it's the most fun I've ever had.
Of course. And that's a product of good parenting.
Oh, yeah.
So talk us about your influences. How did you end up in the arena rock show? What happened? How did that happen?
So what actually got me started playing bass was I played Guitar Hero Van Halen with my friend. We'd treat it like a job. We'd play 7 or 8 hours every day in the summer to the point where we could hold eye contact when we were playing and not look at the screen. So eventually my friend's dad comes downstairs and says, "Hey, why don't you try it on real instruments?" And it was a lot harder, but Guitar Hero had fostered a love for like a lot of 80s music and a lot of like maybe deeper Van Halen stuff, stuff from Diver Down, stuff from 1984, like Girl Gone Bad, that lines like that, like Center Swing. So all these like Van Halen songs were just kind of swirling around up here. So my love for 80s music has been there for a while, but above all, it created a love for music. I was in a lot of college prep courses. I was actually on track to play like upright bass in the symphony. And I was actually studying under the like second chair bass player for the symphony. And then I got a call to play metal music and I left and I did that. Yeah.
There's cool. Nothing wrong with that, Jack. Like I said, I'm, you know, as much as I love rock music, I also have season tickets to the Philharmonic in Evansville. So I'm, I love all kinds of, you know, like I said, music is music, you know.
Yeah.
When you're a musician, you play, and that's what you do. That's awesome.
So Dennis, when are you going to join my country band?
I don't do country or rap. Sorry.
Well, I had a rap thing going like four. Yeah, guys, you guess what? I guess you're not doing that.
You're both screwed.
But we were the 4-0. Yeah. We were the 4-0-G, and I guess you're not going to be in that either. So
no, I'll be the no G. But anyway, no, I agree. You know, like I said, that sounds cool, Jack. That's awesome.
So
go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Nope, go ahead.
I was muted. Go ahead.
Sorry. So what got you, so is that what made you decide to play? Have you always played bass, even bass guitar, or had you played before you did the Van Halen thing, or was that the transition point?
I had tried guitar, but honestly, like if you've ever played Guitar Hero, you know that there's like that strumming switch. That strumming switch is a lot closer to like the thickness of a bass string versus a guitar string with like the force that you need. So guitar always felt like junior bass, if that makes sense. And so it just felt better in my hands. And it was way more fun to like play something where the note would hit you in the chest than like sing, you know? And it didn't hurt that my dad had this really nice Warwick bass that he let me play. It was from some lawsuit that they had with Music Man. So it was like a kind of rare bass, and it was like the best starter bass I could have ever asked for, you know? Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, so, it's always been bass. Yeah.
So Jack, the main reason we were having you on here tonight is something's going on very interesting in your life. So let's talk about that a little bit.
I wonder what it is.
and this is where we're going to bring, instead of Jack Ryan, we're going to bring Jack the Ripper out.
Oh, I might there need a little bit more to get
there. You go. So how did this all begin? Go from the beginning of this. I mean, how did this journey start, and where are you at this point? And I'm really curious about how much interaction you've had with the band. Just, you know,
you need to be a little more clear about what you're talking about. I'm not sure.
No, I think I put it all out there. So
yeah.
Sure. So like a year and a half ago, I was called to join Bad Arena Rock Show, the group that I'm currently with. And I'd always enjoyed 80s music, like, you know, especially Van Halen, but, you know, like your Poison, your Motley Crue. But I hadn't ever really been in a band where that was the focus. So that occurring before, you know, this audition process was like a really good training ground, because I got used to, you know, doing high kicks and spandex and making sure there's glitter on everything. So that was like sort of my start. And I had been in the band for about a year. And then, you know, over the summer, we heard the news that Lexi had parted ways. And I kind of just figured that they would get Jason Newsted out of retirement, or like some, you know, crazy, like awesome player. I'm like, they're Steel Panther, you know, they play arenas, like, in, you know, they sold out Wembley. Like, it's not, you know what I mean? They have their guy. But a bunch of people encouraged me the day that the word came out that they just had an open audition. A lot of people were hitting me up like, hey, you know, try. And so like during the audition process, they just had a Dropbox link. Like, I could have uploaded anything. I could have uploaded like the menu from Arby's if I wanted, you know, I mean,
that'd probably get you picked right there. knowing those guys.
Yeah. I sent them my rider. But anyway, so they had several rounds of eliminations, and I'm pretty detail oriented, and I'd rather like do too much work. So over the whole process, they only required us to send in 2 videos. But I actually sent in 15 different videos, like, that were all audition videos. And so they just had eliminations, you know, that were private through email, saying like, hey, you made it to the next round. Keep your head up and like, keep checking your email. And then this whole voting process happened. And it was really cool to see like people that, you know, were obviously important in my life, like my dad. You tend to know your dad pretty well. He was supportive. Yeah. Yeah. And then also people that I'd known a bit more like peripherally, that maybe I'd shared a bill with, or maybe I loaned my amp to. It was really cool to see like people voting, you know, and, you know, that process lasted from December 1st to the 24th, and it brought 8 candidates. So now there's a final 10, and I wish I could tell you more, but I know that I'm in the top 10 and that's it. And I'm like, I'm really happy. I have the bracket framed in my room, so I'm feeling pretty good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
So did you get to meet the guys at all, period, or has it all been over the internet? And
let me interrupt here for a minute. For those who didn't catch it, he said he was that Lexi left the band. For those who have been living under the rock for the past however many years, he's talking about auditioning for Steel Panther.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Nobody actually said the phrase Steel Panther. That's what I was like. I figured I better throw it out there.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
We know.
Well, that's there's some more bass players watching, so you got to help with that, you know? Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway. So you're speaking to communication. As far as that's gone, we've mostly been contacting through their like manager and their like associates.
Okay.
I've not yet spoken to like Michael or Styx or anything, but I'm sure that they're in the loop.
Cause I know that they have taken some other people out of, you know, of the group that have, you know, put in for it. They've taken them out and did shows it doesn't, you know, one-offs with this guy and one-offs with this guy. I didn't know if you've been, you know, contacted as far as been, you know, with them as far as you got any shows coming up or anything like that. So
no show announcements yet, but I actually went and saw him with Ricky Dazzle at Eclectic Room, and I got a set list. So in that respect, I yelled at him. I think I yelled for them to play Party All Day. So in that way, I've talked to him.
There you go.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I've seen them a couple of times. They're pretty cool. It's a good show. Very good show.
They're a good band. Oh my gosh. It's like effortless. It's like they just like flip on a switch, you know? I've been to some shows where they're performing at a high level and you can see them, you know, like flexing or straining, but they were playing well and it looked easy. So it's just cool to see people be good at what they do, you know?
So speaking of them, you know, turning it on and performing, did they give you any instructions as to, you know, when Lexi's on stage, she does this, what are you going to bring to the table?
Good question. They left it very open-ended. Basically, we were to submit something introducing like our character, and then we were to submit something playing along to one of their songs. I think there was like one sentence of text each. So I think they kind of wanted to see where you would go with it, because ultimately your instinct, like creatively, and your comedic instincts are what they're going to have to work with.
Yeah, like, and Lexi was funny. I mean, that oh my God.
Yeah.
Watch it. Just watching him on stage, it is, I would catch myself really following him around. I mean, watching him and the antics with the mirror and all that kind of crazy stuff he had going on was just hilarious. I mean, it's funny, funny stuff.
And then for, especially for a band like that, he was one of the main characters as far as, I mean, I know the bass player is not the main character, and I'm sorry, Alan. I'm sorry, Jack, but
it's okay.
Gene Simmons will disagree with me, but you know what I'm saying is, like you said, his character. I mean, wait, I'm just joking, Alan.
Jeff Blades. I don't know,
but you know, like Jeff with Wilson. Him. I mean, okay. So none of the other guys had their little table out there with their mirrors and their makeup and shit. I mean, that was the main character of the band, and that was their person that they actually, all the jokes went to. I mean, Lexi was a dump. I mean, they dumped on him all the time. So that's why, so when you went into this, Jack, what was your thought of how to make a character, how create a character for this? Did you kind of go for that? You want to be the dump of the joke, or did you want to be somebody, it'd be a hard decision to make as far as that. So what was your thoughts on when you were deciding on the character?
Yeah. Over my time playing in arena, we're not nearly like the comedic band that Steel Panther is, but during breaks between songs, I would often go up and just try and say the dumbest thing that I could into the microphone. And that was kind of like practice to see like, oh, how do people that like say 80s hair metal, like what kind of jokes work with them? And I found overwhelmingly that like making myself look, can I swear?
Yeah, you can say anything.
Okay.
Good Lord. Like we have a thing on our thing that says, you know, we're politically not incorrect. It's all because of me. So you guess cool. what? I want to hand it to Jack Ryan. You could be the guy now tonight.
Okay. I just didn't want you to, like, if you had like a Nature Valley granola bar sponsorship, like said, damn, you lose it or something.
We are self-sponsored.
we're sponsored by gummy bears, man.
Okay. Oh, awesome. But yeah, I just found like, it's a lot more fun to just make yourself the dumbass. So if the opportunity presents itself, I would very much like to be like the target, you know? It's very fun for me. And in like my personal life, like when I joke like with people, like I try and make myself the target, because at the end of the day, like if you put it on someone else, you're not sure how they would take it maybe, but if you put it on yourself, that's something you can control, you know?
Yeah.
I am all about self-deprecating humor.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's hard.
And
it's
hard. Deprecating, Dennis, not defecating.
Well, I'm the poster boy for that because I usually gather all the jokes. You know what? And I like it because I'm a joke guy. So It is what it is.
It's gonna take you.
No, it's awesome.
It's hard to not have a little bit of like self-deprecating humor if you play bass, you know. But you have to have at least a little bit to play bass of like being the ability to laugh at yourself, you know.
Tell Giddy Lee that, like I said.
Oh. Yeah, I don't, you know, there's a lot of great bass players.
No, there's a great bass player.
You know, you got to have all of it to make a band, right? So there's it's kind of weird. I wonder where that came from, where that started, where you got the bass player was kind of the dumping ground. Because I mean, they only have four strings. Oh, okay. I got you. Obviously, the lead singer gets all the chicks because they're out front. But other than that, yeah, right. I wasn't sure how that worked.
And so, drummers, Jack, as far as the where you're at now in the thing, I know you can't talk much about it, but I mean, you're down. They're down to what, the top eight?
Fair.
Top 10 counting the two that they had before. I know that they had. The bracket itself had eight, and then they had the two that were, and one of the guys that you were talking about, the big muscly guy, he was a guy playing the one in Louisville. That's a guy that, you know, that's been playing with them, kind of filling in. So
mm-hmm. I can't imagine that guy being the butt of people's jokes.
So did that guy come in? Was that just something that they picked out, those two guys, that was their two picks, and then they had this bracket to fill the backspace of that, Jack, or how did that work? You know?
Yeah. So they pre-selected Ricky Dazzle and Ricky Thrash. Right. And then the remaining, I'm guessing they had 34 that they liked. They picked out two that they were especially fond of. And then to like build, you know, anticipation around it,
sure.
Which like it's effective. You know, I've never talked to my family members and my friends and like all the people that I've met along the way more about Steel Panther than when I was doing this. But they pre-selected two, and then they said, okay, here's a 32 contestant like bracket, let's bring it down to eight. Right. So that's how they did it.
Yeah. So yeah. How did you explain to your mom about Steel Panther?
It's like, Mom, I'm going to be doing pussy jokes every night on stage. Don't be offended, but I might make the word, I might say the word vagina at some point.
No, that won't be the word.
I was being nice.
I'm blessed to have like a social group and say like support system around me. That's, I would say above all, they just want me to like succeed and play bass at a high level. And so they were able to see past that. And trust me, there's a lot of stuff to see past, you know?
That's part of it, right? The shtick. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because they're phenomenal musicians. The music is really good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the songs are the songs. They just crack me up. But yeah, it's great. Well, congratulations, man. That's really cool.
Yeah. I feel like the raunchiness is the like hook to bring people in.
Yeah.
And then the great songs are what like has sustained a fan base. Like if their song sucked, they would be out for 3 years and then they would, you know, they wouldn't be anywhere. But because their songs are so good, like they've been around, what, 20 years? I mean, they released Feel the Steel in the like late 2000s, but as a band, they've been around for like 20 years.
Right.
You know,
it's kind of funny because they get panned a lot for that, you know, because the music is kind of, you know, they're like the Weird Al. Yeah, they get that.
But they're like the Weird Al of rock and roll. But the thing is, all their stuff, and like, you know, Weird Al, you know, redoing a song, they're actually making songs. They're just making dirty songs. And It's funny, but like you said, the musicianship and when they're playing is just phenomenal. I mean, I'll put those you know, four guys up on stage. They sound as good as anybody out there. And then you watch a lot of their cover stuff. And I was actually watching, I was showing a video to my buddy Rod tonight where they were doing Crazy Train. And it was all about, you know, Satchel talking about how he can just mimic Randy Rhoads. And, of course, Michael Starr comes out. He does a dead-on, I mean, absolute dead-on Ozzy and makes him look stupid, you know, because he's like going, everybody's watching, you know, Michael Starr because, I mean, he's just doing this impersonation that's just perfect. I mean, you know, and that's the thing about it. You know, they can do a really good job impersonating all other kind of bands, But then their own music themselves, they do a great job. It's fantastic. Like I said, Bill and I have seen them in concert. Alan, you've seen them. We all were there that
twice.
Night.
Well, we saw them at the pre-show.
Right. And I haven't seen them.
Saw them 1 year at Rocklahoma.
Right. And I've seen them, like I said.
The best part about that whole thing was it didn't, I think it was Satchel, almost like in the second song. Who the fuck brings a six-year-old to a fucking Steel Panther concert? You're the greatest parent ever.
But I mean, it's not only the music, it's just the banter and the comedy. I mean, I wish I would have thought about this shit.
They are very entertaining.
If I was 20 years, like I said, Jack, if I was your age and Steel Panther never happened. No, I know that, but I'm saying it'd be 30 years. But if I was his age and Steel Panther never existed, I'd be like, you know what? If I could think of that deal, it would be the almost awesome deal. And, you know, let's just do some dirty songs and just try to be a serious rock band. You mm-hmm. know, I wish I could have thought of that 30 years ago, but I didn't. Anyway, mm-hmm. but that's all.
So Jack, what's going on with that Arena Rock show? I mean, I'm over here in Columbus, Indiana, so I'm not far from Cincinnati. So I make it over there every now and then. Got to run over by Jungle Gyms periodically and cruise the liquor aisle, but it's been a while since I've been over there. But and I know Alan went to a show over there just a couple weeks ago, right? You went over to see Lita. Stopping that. I didn't mean that. As soon as I said it was wrong.
I went to Harrison, Ohio, and saw Nita Strauss at the Blue Note.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nita's amazing. Oh my gosh.
She's extremely nice too.
Yeah.
I did the pre-show VIP meet and greet thing. Courtesy of my friend Brian.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So does the Arena Rock show only in the Ohio area, or are they going, do they venture over here to Indiana much?
Yeah. We about 6-7 months ago, we actually got like a proper 12 bunk tour bus, and then we have our own driver. Cool. Luckily, like, we know a CDL certified driver who works with our drummer, and he also loves like the whole process of going to a venue and all like the behind the scenes stuff, which is great. I was worried that maybe he'd be like, he can drive, but we have to give him, you know, two guitar solos a night, but he's just like super content to just help carry stuff, you know,
or he's just, a drummer or just hang out. And a roadie.
Yeah. 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 But yeah, our driver is amazing. And we're lucky to have like this great team that sort of formed around us that allows us to venture out. Like, we just played Key West, Florida a couple months ago. Wow. We're going out to, I was joking the other day. They said, you know, like, you've reached like a certain level when you're not exactly sure where you're going, when you're going. And I'm starting to get there where it's kind of like, I just show up and then the driver, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, we're going somewhere. When's it? Okay. I just
called
the like,
audience Toledo and you're in Kansas City.
Luckily, that's not my job. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got some
days, you don't get on, as long as you don't get in a car and they take you out to the woods somewhere and you don't know where you're going. Remember that. Don't.
If they're offered to take your sniper, decline.
Free candy. don't get in that bus. Don't get
show
no
me
free
the candy before I get in the bus. I'm not an idiot.
If they offer to take you to the train station.
Yeah.
Don't go. We played at Lazy Acres like 8 months ago. And this guy was insistent that he said, you should hang out with me in my trailer. He said, Fireball and like weed. And I was like, oh, I'm good. Like
Bill was going Fireball. He like be on the Fireball.
No, that's okay.
Fireball, weed in a trailer. That doesn't sound good. That sounds like something you'll see on 2020 at some point. It'd be like going,
hi, I'm
this
Chris
guy.
Hansen.
Yeah. Like, poor bass player Jack Ryan went one night to a trailer.
Went missing.
He went missing with weed and Fireball.
Well, he kept, you know, the like flight size things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He kept throwing those at me. Like when we were
playing. Trying to get you drunk on stage. Yeah. So you could be easier afterwards.
Those would hurt if you got hit by them.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
And if
what was he thinking?
He had a good arm.
And Jack, if everybody ever says anything and walks up to you and says, hey, does this smell like chloroform? Don't
Don't do it.
Don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question that Dennis is famous for asking, but since he's not a bass player, I'll ask
you. You wouldn't know.
Tell us about the bass guitar that you're currently holding and what your rig setup is like.
Sure. I actually have it like set up like just right beside me. So actually, I usually get like fancier with it, and like my fancy bass is getting worked on. So right now I have, it's just a white Precision. I put tape over the pickups because I pluck pretty hard. It's just a Mexican Precision. And then I'm running, let me flip this. Okay, so then I'm running a Gehling Kruger 700 RB, and then Sennheiser wireless system. So this is for in-ears, and then this is for like wireless from my bass. It's a pretty bare bones setup. Like I usually don't even run with a cabinet because we all use in-ears. So it's pretty much just bass, wireless system into our X32. So there's crazy.
That's very
so crazy how it is.
Very similar to my setup. I have the Backline 350.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Those rip.
I've had that thing for like 20 years.
They don't, yeah. You almost want it to break so you can justify a new amp.
Hitting another one.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I run off of I have Westone. These are 5-driver custom in-ears. So like these, it sounds like a cabinet and it's awesome. And I haven't lost any hearing.
Yeah, I definitely need to get better.
My ears
my in-ears are only 3-drivers. Mm-hmm. I could stand to have more kick drum in my ears.
Yeah.
Larry, I hope you're not listening.
My ears would be a lot better if I wouldn't have 40 years of, you know, in the garage, you know, we're all just playing at full volume and doing this and not being able to hear nothing. I mean, all you do is hear yourself. And then you're like, we need to turn up more. I can't hear myself. And I was like, nowadays it's just incredible. I wish I would have had that opportunity as a, you know, being your age, 20 years and, you know, and putting the in-ears and being able to mix things and being, oh my God, it'd be so much better.
I played for a long time without them, and I carry like my amp is like 2 washing machines, you know, and fitting that in a Civic is not fun.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Totally get it. Using your, the 32 you were talking about, do you guys run your own in-ear mix, or do you have someone that does your monitor mix for you?
I do the monitor mix typically. I'll run our snakes. I'll run all our stuff into the X32. And then we just run everything off of an iPad, and we'll put an iPad on the drum riser. And if you don't like what you're hearing, just adjust
your own channel. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing with our band. Now we have no stage monitors, and it has made a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. You can crank vocal mics and there's never feedback because there's no speaker to feedback with, you know?
Exactly.
It's awesome. Yeah.
God, I need to get back into music again. Oh my God.
And like, finally, like as much as I like the sound of tube amps that are really loud, it's nice to not have guitar that shakes the stage, you know?
Yeah.
It's all like amp sims. So.
No. Oh.
Until I have, you know, until I'm in a position where I just show up, I'm going to make it as easy as I can on myself, you know?
Well, tell our viewers and listeners where they can find you online.
Sure. So I've been proactive and on every platform, whether that's Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, it's at Jack the Ripper Bass. So across all platforms, that's what it is.
So when does the next round start? Is it?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Oh, they don't they really have. Okay, so
I have no
idea. You're like us. You don't know. So yeah. Okay.
So people think, I said. Yeah.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh well, like I joked, I said like I'm not sure what the next step is going to be, but it might be protected by an NDA, and then like. My friends were like, oh, so you signed an NDA, so you do know what's going on. I'm like, no, that's what I think will happen. So now they all think that, like, I know I have some secret plan that's protected by an NDA, but I don't. I know as much as you, you know?
So
So that's interesting. How are the guys in the arena rock band? Are they excited for you? Are they like, you know, helping promote you? Are they like, dude, don't leave us. You do the sound and stuff, and we can't run our stuff.
And he's all like, well, without they're going to find out after this episode.
They are. They're going to be like,
you motherfucker.
That's super fair. And you know, like with a 2-hour show, like we do with Arena, where I also run key components of our performance, like our X32. It's not as easy as just like, okay, swap them out. So the first like round of auditions that I ever did, I contacted like three substitutes and didn't say like, hey, I'm auditioning for Steel Panther. I don't know what's going to happen. I just said to him like, hey, here's our set list. If you could learn it, that'd be awesome. Just trying to get some subs in order. Cause at the end of the day, I didn't know what was going to happen. And I didn't want like my friends there, cause they're all my friends. I didn't want my friends in that arena rock show to be left hanging if anything happened, you know? So I've had subs arranged since October, you know, that I can rely on and that are trustworthy. And I've also like, we've also gone through and made sure everybody knows how to do everything now, as far as our production in arena goes. But as far as them taking it personally, they've all been supportive and they've all been like sharing and voting, which is really cool. Cause I just at rehearsal, I didn't want them to find out from Steel Panther posting something raunchy, you know, and then they'd be like, what the fuck? He should have talked to us. So I just like, we just talked after rehearsal and above all, like, I think we all just want to see everybody in the band succeed. And this is obviously like a really big potential opportunity. So they were all really cool with it, which is something I'm grateful for, you know?
That just goes to show that
no one was possessive or anything.
That goes to show that one, they are good friends, and two, they are professional.
Yeah.
You know, because this is the music business, not the music friendship. Ultimately, that's what it boils down to. Just ask Eric Singer.
Jack, whenever they get to the point where they got the open up the next voting, everything, let us know, and then we'll also promote it on our page also. I'm just really surprised that they haven't, I mean, other than their management, that they haven't contacted you guys. It's kind of interesting that they've been like that. But, I mean, I'm sure that they're not going to get to it to the point where they get down to, the final four or something. They're going to be at that point, then you'll probably hear something from them.
Well, they also had that Christmas tour they were doing. So they had 20 dates or something through November and December.
That's true too.
So that's probably taken up some of the.
And I've actually watched a couple of those shows and there've been different players. I know the one at Louisville was the one that you were talking about. It was one of the finalists, the muscle bound dude, excuse me. But I also saw one that was recent. You know, it was a little bit skinnier dude. So they're taking different people out on these tour to finish their Christmas tour. They're not just sticking with one person. I think they are honestly trying out different people to see what's going to happen. So,
well, Jack, I hope you get a chance, man. I hope you get a chance to get up there and play one time, at least one time, and get to show show them what you got. I think that'd be just, you know, if nothing else, man, put that on a resume.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's just freaking awesome. Because, you know, there's a lot of bands out there that need bass players and stuff like that. And, you know, the arena rock band's going to be, you know, they'll be around for a while. I mean, I go to see Hairbangers Ball. That's a group out of Chicago area that comes and tours the Indiana market, Bloomington market,
right?
A lot. So I see them quite a bit, a few times a year. So, so now I have to make a trip to Cincinnati, I guess, and see the arena rock show. So
take me with you. I'll go.
Well, we'll come see you sometime. When you see two old dudes out there, you'll know who it is.
Get off my lawn. Damn it.
Get off my lawn. That's what we'll do. When we're out there and you're up there, we're going to start screaming, get off my lawn. You'll know exactly who it is. You're going to be, holy shit.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Going back to like as far as the timeline of everything, they had voting up until the 24th of December. Right. So, I doubt they were going to send anything out Christmas Day. You know, they probably wanted an off day too. So I would anticipate in the next 1 to 2 weeks, they'll be reaching out. To be honest, this is speculation. I don't think there's going to be more voting. I think from here, it's going to be like the band choosing or, you know, taking this person out on 3 or 4 dates. Cause that, it looks like that's been their like formula. If you look at like Ricky Dazzle, he's been with them for a while, but right. Ricky Thrash went out. Was it the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th of December?
Now he was the one that's kind of muscle bound.
He's the, Thrash.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And he worked really good. I noticed he did a really good job with
oh, the, yeah.
cause it, he has that kind of, he's got the buff kind of, I mean, on steroids, but I'm stupid kind of thing. He, that's kind of his shtick, you know, everybody has their shtick. So
yeah.
he does real well at that. So I hope you get mm-hmm. your chance to go out and do that though. I mean, and you know, whatever you plan for your shtick, you know, and I've seen your video. I mean, just go with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, do the best you can. That's all you can do, mm-hmm. but you'll do good.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been like journaling like any like a, because I mean half of their shows is a comedy show, oh, you yeah. know, oh, so like
more than half, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, which wouldn't be the worst. I mean, I'm used to like 2 hours of just going through.
How many songs are usually in a set for Arena Rock Show? In the 20s somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah, they're stacked, and there's like 13 or 14 outfit changes that our singer has to do. I do not envy that, because he'll dress up like Ozzy, or he'll dress up like David Coverdale, or do like the two different looks for Vince Neil, whether that's like the leather look or his like Home Sweet Home look. Like,
oh,
I thought you were gonna say the stuff. Buffet look. I thought he was gonna do the buffet look, and then the
see, you could do Nelson and then I do like both Nelsons, but you don't have to change. You just like,
well, yeah, I'm, you just switch sides of the mic.
Yeah, yeah,
that's funny.
So yeah.
You should tell him to do the buffet. So it'll make it a lot easier on him.
I'm the big Vince. Burr, yeah. Burr, burr, burr.
Oh, that'd be
poor
good.
Vince. Poor Vince.
Some people, yeah. I think there'd be, you probably have some people that are really pissed off and offended by that, and you have some other people that think it's hilarious.
Oh, dude, I would love to see the big Vince that could actually sing, but be the big Vince. I would laugh my ass off.
We only got to know like every other word anyway, so it's good.
Put the mic out like this, going, hello?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jack, like I said, I hope the best for you, dude. I hope that I hope you things work out on that. I hope, and like I said, I'm gonna keep watching. I don't know how I'm like you. I don't know how they're gonna finish this out. I mean, they got you down to what, top 8? Mm-hmm. So it'd be interesting to see how they. I hope they keep. I don't know. Like you said, the voting. I don't know how they're gonna do that, but let's hope that it keeps going.
Oh yeah, yeah. I have, believe me, I have a good wardrobe. Lots of tiger print, lots of zebra print.
There you go. Stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah. I actually found, you know, the Nikki Sixx, like black and white striped outfit that he had.
Oh yeah.
I actually found that trench coat, and I have that trench coat.
Oh my God. Wear it next
time.
You have to do another video. Put that on there and go, I don't know where I got this.
Oh,
some dude was like laying in a gutter, and I scrapped this off.
A heroin needle in his arm.
Yeah, he had a needle. It's got a needle mark in its arm, but we're good.
Well, on that note, we probably should cut this off. Thanks for coming on the show. Hang tight while I take us out of here, folks. Go to agesofrock.com. Check out our social media links and our past episodes. And until next time, peace out.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.